In my view, and I'm a historian of harm reduction, I'm someone who's thought about this as a global movement, and here I have an application in my local town, the city of Troy, and in my view, removals and displacement are always bad strategy. Instead, people really ought to ask people what they need and use harm reduction as a design principle and build up from what participants tell you. So if I were a mayor of a town that had a problem with public urination, I would install restrooms. These days, you can even install overdose-resistant restrooms, which they have in Boston at Boston Healthcare for the Homeless. And so it seems to me like what you should really think about are what are the actual problems that people face in the city of Troy, and think also about our harm reduction strategies. Harm reduction is a set of principles and practices in which we say, look, people are going to engage in drug use, in practices that not everyone might think contribute to public health. And instead of depending on individuals being trained and equipped with naloxone or to deal directly with health emergencies, why not just secure public access naloxone, right? So when they bring those benches back, which I think inevitably they will, we always think we're going to somehow get rid of homelessness by getting rid of the homeless. And that is a really morally repugnant strategy. And it's also just a bad design principle, right? So if we start by saying, well, why don't we secure public access to harm reduction services and the material of harm reduction, which is, of course, naloxone, which reverses overdose. I recently wrote a book called OD, Naloxone and the Politics of Overdose, and I looked very specifically at naloxone, but there are other harm reduction materials as well, including things like biohazard needle discard boxes, lock boxes that can be unlocked with a cell phone or a QR code, fentanyl test strips, right? In other words, there are lots of things that people can use in order to reduce the harm, the health consequences of what they're doing. If we were really thinking about the citizens of Troy, I think we would be thinking about reinstalling those benches with harm reduction materials alongside them and public restrooms.
Nancy, you said a lot of things that I think our listeners maybe cocking their heads and wondering what you were talking about. So I want to take them one by one. Can you explain naloxone just briefly and its availability in this area?
Yeah, so naloxone is a narcotic antagonist. And what that means is that if someone has an opiate in their system, and that includes heroin, fentanyl, and many pharmaceutical opioids. Many people die overdose deaths from pharmaceutical opioids that they are taking correctly. It's just that the dosage is problematic for them. And so naloxone is something that will reverse an overdose from any opioid. In this area, as early as 2012, the Rensselaer County Sheriff's Office carried naloxone. We have harm reduction activists and organizations that make naloxone available through needle exchange. The Rensselaer County Public Health Department, that's where I got my naloxone, regularly also distributes naloxone and does very short trainings to make sure people know how to use it. But the problem with naloxone is that you've got to have a person who is not in an overdose situation there at the right place at the right time. It's an individual strategy, in other words. And so even though it's systemically and widely available now and shared, you just might be in a situation where you don't have access to naloxone at the right place at the right time or enough naloxone, because since 2013 or so, fentanyl has crept into about 95% of the U.S. heroin supply, and it's also now found not only in opioids, but mixed into stimulants, so people who don't even think they're using an opioid might have a problem with fentanyl. Fentanyl overdose is reversed by naloxone, but you sometimes have to give more than one dose of naloxone.
So fentanyl strips was the next thing that I wanted to ask you about. Are those readily available? Do drug users have access to fentanyl strips?
I don't think that they do have access to fentanyl strips in this area to the extent that they would in, say, Boston or Chicago. The Chicago Recovery Alliance, for instance, makes fentanyl strips and fentanyl testing available.
And because drugs are illegal, people don't really know what's in the drugs that they're taking. And so I guess theoretically, if people knew that fentanyl was in the heroin that they bought on the street, they would know that this is a potentially lethal dose.
Right, so they would know that they just need to reduce the amount that they're using, and that they need to make sure that they're using in a safe place with someone else. So never use alone. Now this, of course, as we all realize, in this moment of social distancing and isolation, when that has become essential to stopping pandemic, never use alone has been really problematic. And so we are seeing overdoses in this area where people are alone, and therefore they have no possibility of naloxone reversal. In response, harm reduction organizations have been organizing curbside delivery of naloxone. But again, you know, the problem is you can't really administer naloxone to yourself. When you're in an overdose situation, you are not in a situation where you can do that. And so you really need to make sure that you're not using alone, despite the call for social distance. And of course, these justifications for the removal of the benches from Barker Park are public health measures, right? People are using public health as a justification to do these other things, to displace and remove people from Barker Park. And so we've been seeing some really interesting social movement type responses to that. We've been seeing essentially a sit-in organized by people who are taking their own chairs to Barker Park and making sure that the park is, in a sense, occupied so people can see that there are people who are upset about this and who want to see the benches restored.
What's an overdose-resistant bathroom?
Yeah, that was an interesting one for me. So I got really interested in the idea that you could use harm reduction as a design principle, and you could build harm reduction into the built environment. So you could build it into your benches, you could build it into your restrooms. And in Boston, many of the harm reduction healthcare practitioners noticed that a lot of overdoses were taking place in public restrooms in hospitals, in restrooms in their clinics, in public parks, obviously. And they got the idea, well, we could create more overdose-resistant restrooms, which will notify someone that someone has fallen on the floor, has lain there for a longer period of time than someone who had just slipped and fallen. And the problem with that, of course, is that overdose-resistant bathrooms notify someone. So there has to be someone who is watching out for people. And oftentimes in public parks, there really is no one watching out for people but the police. And so there would have to be a connection made, right, with the Troy Police Department. And sometimes law enforcement is resistant to feeling that it should be responsible for overdoses and therefore for overdose deaths. And so there are lots of barriers to installing overdose-resistant bathrooms in Barker Park, but one could at least have restrooms in Barker Park. I myself, I have to say, have often been in downtown Troy, and there are very few public restrooms.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. You also mentioned needle discard boxes, and it's not uncommon to visit a rest area on the thruway, for example, and see needle discard boxes. And that's for the convenience of, at the very least, people with diabetes who need to inject themselves with insulin. But there are so many other people who use syringes that it seems some of these design principles that would be geared towards ameliorating the problem could help other people. These design changes could enhance the community.
Yeah, I agree. It's like universal design in cases of disability. these design changes that were brought about by universal design really benefit all of us. They make lots of places and spaces easier to access and easier to use. And I think if we layered harm reduction as a design principle into that notion, that could indeed be really important. And rest areas are really interesting to think about as spaces because, of course, rest areas also have harm reduction principles already, right? If you look at your AED, your AEDs, your defibrillators, you're going to find them in airports and rest areas. They become part of the wallpaper. And I suggest that naloxone and other harm reduction materials could be like that.
Nancy, if you could talk to Mayor Madden about this directly, what would you say?
Well, I would say if you're worried about public urination, Mayor Madden, why not just install public restrooms? Why displacement, which is always a bad strategy? Instead, ask people what they need and use public monies to deliver what people actually need.
What if the response was there's no public money?
Yeah, I'm worried about that. I'm really worried about what's happening to municipalities in the midst of this. One of the interesting things is that harm reduction organizations and activists have been able to do a lot and have been doing a lot for decades with very little funding, very little public money. In fact, harm reduction was thought of as a, quote, dirty word in the United States through the 1990s and into the early 2000s. And now that we've made a space where it's been a little bit more legitimated, I think that we have to turn to the people who have been doing it for all these years. You know, turn to Housing First, turn to Vocal New York, turn to organizations that know something about how to get services out to people like needle exchange, like naloxone for very little money. There's also a company called Harm Reduction Therapeutics. It's a nonprofit pharmaceutical company. They're trying to look at getting low cost, essentially over the counter naloxone out to people. And so I think we're going to need to begin to look at interesting new strategies around harm reduction.
So maybe the message to the mayor is look to community partners to help solve the problem.
Absolutely. That is always better. And I think the mayor knows that because there are a lot of organizations in Troy with which the mayor is familiar. And I think if we got harm reduction as a message out, that we can do better in Barker Park.